Hey, Uncommon Leaders, welcome back. This is the Uncommon Leader Podcast, and I'm your host, John Gallagher. Today, I've got an inspiring and equipping conversation with Mark Savant. Mark helps business owners launch and automate podcasts. His company, Mark Savant Media, turns 30-minute Zoom calls into an entire digital media presence. Mark is also the host of the globally ranked top 1% podcast, After Hours Entrepreneur, which is where I got a chance to learn about Mark, which highlights industry disruption such as AI, automation, and independent media. And he's the host of a mastermind community focused on adapting and innovating with the newest AI technology. Tune in today as we dive into the world of tech, exploring the future of AI, the power of mastermind groups, and much, much more. Mark brings to the table some compelling insights and personal anecdotes that will inspire and provoke your thinking and your daily leadership journey. You really don't want to miss this conversation. Let's get started. Mark Savant, welcome to the Uncommon Leader Podcast. I appreciate you sharing your time with the listeners today. How you doing?
I'm excellent. Honored to be here, John. Thanks for having me.
No, it's great to have you on. I'm looking forward to our conversation today and excited about some of the topics we're going to cover. I've followed Mark for a few years now on his social media channels and podcasts and things. So it's a great opportunity to have him on here and learn a little bit more just by getting a chance to have a one-on-one conversation with him. But Mark, I will start you off just like I start every first-time guest on the Uncommon Leader Podcast. And that's with a question that's basically asking you to share a story from your childhood that still impacts who you are today as a person or as a leader or as an entrepreneur.
So I think one of the most important lessons that I learned as a kid was that paying attention to who I am is really important. I've been an employee my whole life, but I don't really have the mentality. I don't like to be held down. I don't like other people making decisions for me. When I was younger, I was a very good baseball player. And I remember I just had one coach that I just didn't like. And one of the problems with team sports is you don't have a choice of whether you play or not. It's the coach's choice. And I was a really good player, and the coach just wouldn't give me opportunities that I felt that I deserved. And I honestly, it kind of turned me off towards baseball as a whole, right? Which you could say regret, no regret, but that really turned me off. Had a similar experience in high school playing basketball. I felt that I was one of the better players on the team, but I didn't get the chance to play because the coach said, this guy is going to get the chance to play. And so it turned me off there. And then even further, going into college, I was working at Best Buy. And I actually really enjoyed working at Best Buy. It was a fun place to work. But I didn't just want to be the bottom entry-level employee. I wanted to move up in the company. I would become an assistant manager, manager. And I remember going to the manager at the store and saying, hey, what should I do? I want to move up. I want to play a bigger role. I want to make more money. I want more influence. What I can do? He said, well, I want you to do these few things. I want you to join this volunteer club. I want you to show up for this event. I want to do this. I did all the things. I was part of initiatives in the store. I was doing all the things he asked me to do. And then some. Everyone liked me. I played the politics game. And when it came time to hire for a supervisor position in the television department, home theater. I want to be in home theater. I know about TVs. I know about DVD players. And that's back in the day when they had DVD players. I knew about all the home stereo. I knew all the stuff. Everyone liked me. I had some, I would say leadership qualities. But when it came time to hire for that position, not only did I not get hired, they went out and they hired someone from another store that was a total doof. Total doof. Didn't get respect. And I was like, you know, I was just really frustrated. So after I graduated from college, I went into a job. I was looking for a job, not looking to build my own thing. And, you know, I just turned 41. Age 40 was the first year that I was fully self-employed. My own podcast production agency, marketing company. My first year, I got to tell you, John, that was my favorite year. Age 40 was my favorite year, not 20. Not 30, 40. And I think it's because I finally figured out my lane. And I just wish I would have listened to my 12-year-old self playing baseball and say, hey, Mark, you're not an employee. You want to be the boss. You want to be the leader. You want to make your own rules.
Mark, that is an awesome story. And it kind of frames what I've known about Mark Savant as he's gone through. And yeah, I like how you talked about it's not the word regret. There's one of my favorite books that's had an influence on me is The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. One of the first quotes in the book is, when the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. Okay. And you had to go through a lot of different experiences to recognize what you've been. Now, you've been the after hours entrepreneur. Even before you were full time, you kind of had the side gig as to what you're doing, from podcast production, doing some podcasting. And some of the podcasts I've seen, you had the Good Dad Show, I believe, was one of the podcasts that you hosted. You're now on YouTube and things like that. But to be on your own, like, I've appreciated that as well. First time for me. And so 53 was really fun for me. Although I get a boot to help me get going there. I have so appreciated the freedom, and I use that word a bunch, that comes with the entrepreneurial style and having control of your own business. But there's also many other emotions. That freedom comes with a price. Tell me about some of that price you had to pay really in the past couple of years as well, or as you've been, in essence, on your own, and how you've gone through that journey and worked your way through it. Because it's not always roses and candy as an entrepreneur. There's ups and downs.
No, and quite frankly, I think every day I look at things and I'm like, am I doing the right thing? Should I be doing that? Every day. And, you know, you mentioned, by the way, that you'd listen to my income report for 2023. The income report's been my most popular episodes, and I get the most feedback on them because I just want to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. Some months are great months and I'm happy. Some months are not so good and I'm not as happy. But I think to really give this a shot, to be your own boss, be an entrepreneur, you need to have that type of personality, that mentality, that some days are going to suck. Some days are going to be great. You don't want to get too high. You don't want to get too low. You just want to kind of manage that emotional roller coaster that happens. And again, even still, every day I get those feelings. But as far as the price that needs to be paid, I'll give you an example. This year on YouTube, on Mark Savant's YouTube channel, I hit 1 million views and I made YouTube partner. So YouTube is sending me checks to make videos. John, I had to record 800 videos to get there. I just want to repeat that for everyone back. I produced 800 YouTube videos before YouTube sent me a dollar, right? And most people aren't going to pay that price. So I think what that comes down to is finding something, which, by the way, I could have done it way faster knowing what I know now. But what we need to get honest with ourselves with is three things. A, what do I enjoy? What am I great at? And where is there a market demand? If you can put those three things together, I think that the price that you need to pay becomes much more palatable. Because if you don't have one of those three things, that price is either going to be so painful that you can't keep up, or people just ain't going to buy it. So getting those three things: what do I enjoy? What am I good at? Where is the market? Those are the three things I think you want to hit as quickly as possible.
Mark, I appreciate that. And I have this picture of circles, three circles overlapping, right? And it's where those three things overlap together is where you really hit your sweet spot. So we could play with baseball analogies all over the place. As an entrepreneur, it's much like being a baseball player. You can be the best baseball player and get in the Hall of Fame and have a batting average of 300. So fail 7 out of 10 times and still make the Hall of Fame, and maybe even worse. You're going to do that a bunch as an entrepreneur. So you could have the mindset to say it's okay to fail. In fact, it's expected to fail. The other side of that, and because I've had a quote that I've heard that, you know, find something you love and you'll never work a day in your life. What I like to turn that around is that once you find something you love, you're good at it, and there's a market for it, you'll work as many hours as you need to make that happen because it feels right. So I appreciate you sharing that. I love those three things.
100%. On that failure thing, I think it's funny too, on that failure thing, you know, like Warren Buffett says, like, I've only made 5 good trades my entire life, right? The others were dogs. And I'm not going to go political here, but you could say a lot of bad things about Trump, a lot of things for reasons you don't like or things he's done poorly. I think there's a lot to critique there. But when people attack him and say, oh, he's had failed businesses, I'm like, that's not a good attack. Everybody that's successful has had failures, you know? So that's a point that Tim Ferriss drives home in his book, The 4-Hour Workweek. You need to be comfortable with discomfort, and failure is the price that is necessary to see any sort of business success. It is, everyone pays that price.
I appreciate you sharing that, Mark. Mark, you also touched on your monthly income report. So you bear it all. You basically say what your expenses were, what your income were, and you put it out there on your podcast to communicate with others. Transparency as leaders is very important. I believe that's like the ultimate level of transparency. So, you know, what is it that drove you to communicate that out, to be that transparent? And how would you advise leaders who are kind of nervous about, hey, should I say this or should I say that?
Well, my mom still is like, Mark, I can't believe you're putting that out there. I would never. She's mortified that I'm putting out my income reports. But I mean, here's the deal. We live in a day and age where, you know, all you see on social media is, this is me in front of my Ferrari, and here's me with my Photoshopped filtered face. And, you know, people are hungry for real. People are hungry for the realistic, especially as we go into an AI world, which we'll probably talk about. But, you know, it struck me earlier last year in 2023, I think February, I started doing the income report. I was like, I remember seeing John Lee Dumas doing it on Entrepreneurs on Fire. I was like, this is interesting. You know, I actually like the income report. He's not as transparent with all of his numbers as I am, as far as breaking down every expense and exactly what went wrong and what went right. But I, you know, frankly, I don't see a lot of people doing that in the podcasting world. Most people that are doing entrepreneurship podcasts are really just saying the good things that happen, but that's not real life. And, you know, there's a couple goals there. In that, A, once I did it, I got a lot of response. I got more emails from that first income report than I'd ever gotten. And I get more people that listen to that than any other episode, because it hits home, because it's real. And, you know, every entrepreneur, like we talked about, deals with failure, deals with struggles. And I think, you know, for me to say, oh, I didn't make any money this month, that was a crappy month, or this month I made 25 grand, this was a good month, like, I think people resonate with that. So I was inspired by JLD. I did one episode. And you know, it's kind of funny, John, I know I'm a little all over the place, but I remember hearing Gary Vaynerchuk talk about this a few years ago. He says, document the journey, document the journey, document the journey. And at the time, I thought what that means is just take a bunch of pictures of yourself and just talk about the good things that you do. That's not what he means at all. It means be real. It means basically do a public journal. And the more public you are about failures and the more stories that we're able to tell, the more people respond to it. Just like you're talking to me about it. I was on a podcast yesterday with Anthony Nwari. Same deal. I said, Mark, I love the income report. This morning I was in a team meeting. Two of the team members said, Mark, I really enjoyed the income report. So, I plan on leaning more into that and sharing more lessons through storytelling on the show.
Love that storytelling. I mean, there's a vulnerability to sharing that and saying, man, it was a lousy month, or it was a great month, I felt good about it. You know, even your end of year, just really focused on, while it may not have been, you felt just short of hitting your target, it was one of the most fulfilling years for you as a person and as a leader. And again, at 40 years old, that's a pretty good feeling. You touched on AI, and I think there's something here as well, because that's something, as I followed you, you know, you've made a shift here. You've found either a pain point or a pleasure point in the work that you do in this term called AI that you're starting to learn more about, you found a market for, and things like that. Look, for me as a leader, while I'm not an early adopter to pieces like that, I'm fascinated by some of those things. And I think as leaders, especially as, you know, maybe older guys like me in the leadership role, there's really two responses they have to AI. There's either this fear of, holy smoke, what is this going to do? Okay. Or this fascination that says, boy, how can I really learn from that? It's the pain or the pleasure. What drives you? Tell me about this new infatuation you have with AI and where you're going with it.
Well, AI changes everything. About 14 months ago, I lost a key team member, got that dreaded call that every entrepreneur gets, every business owner gets, boss, I quit. And this guy's like, hey, I'm moving to Spain, going to do my own thing. peace. And I was like, crap. And I did the next thing that business owners do. I put out a job listing, trying to find someone. And I just started doing the work because it's got to be done. I immediately became overwhelmed and wasn't sleeping well. Kind of wife was noticing the relationship with people around me started to suffer a bit. Cause I was stressing out, spending all this time doing these tasks. And then I was like, there's gotta be a better way. So I started using AI in this task. And John, I immediately saved 90% of my time. I saved so much time and I was like blown away. So I started training my other team members on what I was doing. I eventually found someone, trained the new team member on this new AI. And 4 months later, I quit my day job. So when I saw the impact that it had on me, giving peace of mind, a good night's rest, better relationship with my wife, saving up to 90% of my time on tasks, I became hooked. I started looking at all the new tools. I started testing them myself. I started funding them for my team to test these new tools. I started talking to app developers. I talked to about 2 to 5 AI app developers every month. And I was just blown away. I try to share all my best kept secrets on a newsletter at AIupdate.ai. And because like, this is life-changing stuff, John. Like this is not just life-changing, it's world-changing. It's human-changing. The World Economic Forum anticipates 80 million jobs are going to be displaced this year by AI. McKinsey, the largest consulting group in the entire world, they're predicting 30% of the global workforce to be displaced over the next 7 years. Walmart plans to automate 63% of their stores before 2027. So like the world is changing so quickly and so rapidly, we need to be adapting this stuff from every level of every industry, from the mail clerk to the CEO. AI is going to impact what you do. And so I've dove headfirst, deep into the pool, not just learning it, but executing on it and trying to share my best lessons.
Mark, I love that. And again, that's, to me, that would be one of those, like, I'm fascinated by it. I have to learn from it. Those leaders who are using the other word, they're on the other side of that when they use the word fear. You know, there's things that can happen. And there's the word that comes to mind when I talk with folks about it a bunch is authenticity. It's so funny talking to college students, talking about, I don't like it. I had to work so hard to get to my degree. And now there's this, you know, easier way to do things. And I always love to challenge them because how can it be used for good as well? You know, in the healthcare space and helping us to become healthier or more fit in terms of what we do. Or, you know, while there is the job displacement, it's the productivity, the 90% productivity improvement, freeing you up to do what you're best at. Or in the case of healthcare, freeing a physician up potentially to be the empathetic physician that they need to be with their patient rather than looking at their computer and trying to type stuff in that they really don't need to be typing into their computer and not focusing their energy on the patient. I see the good, others see the fear. What do you say to those folks who see the fear?
It's okay to be afraid. I'm afraid. There's a lot of risk, but here's the deal. It changes everything. It can pass the bar. It can pass the medical licensing exam. It aces the SAT. It's read every book. It's watched every movie. Like, this is like the most powerful tool. These are the most powerful tools in the history of humanity. Like, I'll give you another thing that I think is relevant. AI is 50% more effective at finding tumorous cells on X-rays and MRIs. 50%. So, John, if I'm going in for a cancer screening, am I going to use a doctor or radiologist that's not using AI? Hell no, because they're not as effective. I'm going to use a radiologist that has, we use AI at the very top of the banner on their website, because I know that radiologist is going to be much more accurate and effective at finding and preventing cancer. You cannot afford to dig your head, put your head in the sand. And you know, the good news is this is new. It's fresh. We're at the front end of this thing. Nobody knows exactly what's happening. That's why everyone's kind of talking about it and chirping about it. You know, if you are using ChatGPT daily, you're a 1% of the 1%.
Wow.
Because it's putting you at a tremendous advantage. And you might say, well, Mark, I don't really know exactly where it's going. Nobody does. Not even Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, knows where this thing is going. So what that means is we're moving into a phase of humanity that's going to be very chaotic. And so by finding the right lanes, by finding solutions to the chaos, you're going to position yourself for tremendous success. And that's what I'm trying to facilitate, both in myself and my team and by subscribers to the AI Update newsletter.
Yeah, I'll make sure to put a link into that. I would encourage everybody to sign up for that newsletter to get
what you're
talking about. Yeah.
I'll give a free gift to your subscribers. I'll give you a special link. I'll give you a 100-page guide to ChatGPT, all my best secrets, my best prompts, my best follow-ups, all my best secrets to ChatGPT. It's all free. Just go sign up for the newsletter. I'll give it to you for free at AIUpdate.ai.
Hey, listeners, I want to take a quick moment to share something special with you. Many of the topics and discussions we have on this podcast are areas where I provide coaching and consulting services for individuals and organizations. If you've been inspired by our conversation and are seeking a catalyst for change in your own life or within your team, I invite you to visit coachjohngallagher.com/free call to sign up for a free coaching call with me. It's an opportunity for us to connect, discuss your unique challenges, and explore how coaching or consulting can benefit you and your team. Okay, let's get back to the show. All right, we'll be there. I'll be the first one in line for that one for sure. Hey, Mark, I want to ask, because you're staying just on AI, there was a podcast that you did or a video you had on YouTube, and you talked about the fear side of it and woke AI and what could be the worst. Tell me, what is woke AI and why is that something that could be damaging as well?
So I'll try not to get political, but wokeness is this mind virus that essentially dictates that in order for someone to be successful, they had to hurt someone else. They had to do wrong to someone else to be successful. And it's incredibly dangerous. It's, you know, it's been tried before. It's ended in piles and piles of bodies. It's not meritocratic. It's no fun. It ruins lives. This wokeness is, it's really bad. On Monday, it's going to be MLK Day. And Martin Luther King, he had a dream that he would live in a world where little white boys and little black boys and little white girls and little black girls could hold hands and, in a world where they don't have to worry about this stuff. It's that kind of that colorblind idea. This is what liberalism is built on. And we've moved so far past that. Now all people see is oppressor, oppressed, color. This is why people don't know if they should be for Israel, should be for Palestine. This is why you hear politicians say stuff like, well, I'll only hire a black woman lesbian. It's like, this is why airlines are getting caught up in, we're not hiring based on the best candidates, the best pilots. We're going to hire based on race, gender, sexuality. It's complete garbage. It's not based on, I want the best person for the job. It's I hire based on race. That's literal racism. Okay. It makes me very upset. I don't want to live in a world. I don't teach that to my kids. We don't live that way. So let me just lay that out first. By the way, that video is an hour long and I cite tons of resources. I review tons of videos because this is a very pervasive and dangerous ideology that's infecting the world, right? So why does that matter for AI? Well, it matters because AI, large language models, are trained based on data. It's trained based on research papers and news articles, videos, and movies, and blogs. It's trained on all this data. It's trained on the information that people like you and me put into it. By the way, don't put sensitive personal information into ChatGPT. Don't put industry secrets into ChatGPT because it's learning based on what you put in there. Okay. Don't put your social security number into ChatGPT. So why is this dangerous? Well, if we train AI based on these bad, dangerous, frankly, racist ideas, that's what it's going to learn. That's what AI is going to learn. And that's what it's going to reflect back at us. It's going to give us those same terrible ideas. And where this gets dangerous is because AI is going to shape the future of the internet. It's going to shape the future of education. It's going to shape the future of healthcare. So if AI is trained on these bad ideas and it's pushing out bad ideas, and those bad ideas are used to train more AI on bad ideas, what we do is we create this dangerous, dangerous cyclical system where AI is only producing the most toxic, dangerous, anti-human ideas. And so I'm not here for it. I don't like it. And I'm glad that people are starting to wake up to how terrible these woke ideas are.
Mark, I appreciate you sharing and the transparency. While it doesn't have to be a political statement, one of the things that I believe as a man of faith as well is that there is evil in the world and exists. And people are going to work to put evil into this process. There's no doubt about it. And so we have got to be persistent. We've got to be diligent about filtering, through our own values, through our own beliefs, and through our own principles, what is the information that's there. So not just taking everything that ChatGPT, spits out at us, but making sure that we have our voice inside of that activity, because we want to be right. Absolutely.
In speaking up, don't be afraid to speak up. If you're at a dinner party and someone says something, you're like, no, I don't get down like that. Yeah. That's not the way I get down. And it doesn't mean you have to be mean. It just means you say, 2 + 2 = 4. I don't know what to tell you, because this idea that there is no truth but power is very dangerous. And, my pastor laid this out in a really clear way the other day. I thought it was really good. He said, truth without grace is mean. Grace without truth is meaningless, but truth with grace is medicine. And I think that really encapsulate the way I feel about it.
Love that. Folks, I think, just that 30-second rewind is worth it just to hear that last statement, because those are absolutely great principle to follow with regard to grace and truth. Absolutely. Mark, I appreciate you sharing all that about AI. I'm going to put those links in the show notes to make sure folks get there. I'm going to shift gears just a little bit, because there's another aspect of your business that I find interesting, and so it might be learning for me as well as the listeners that go forward. And that's this concept of masterminds. So you host a mastermind. You also have participated in masterminds before. Tell me about a mastermind community and why leaders could benefit from joining a mastermind community. Maybe even yours as well. Tell us about yours and how that works, because they're not accountability groups. They're not just meetups. They're something different. What's there for you?
Oh man, if you're not surrounding yourself with the right people, you're not achieving your full level of excellence. My mastermind group, the After Hours Entrepreneur Mastermind, is really focused on what are the success patterns in business? What's happening next? We talk a lot about AI, talk a lot about marketing, leadership as well. But to your point, the world is changing so fast. We're getting into such a chaotic experience. Like, the world is changing so fast. Like, Bitcoin is now regulated. What does that mean for financial markets? AI is reading MRIs. AI is writing books. Where does VR play into this? AI influencers are here. Like, what happens with AI influencers? So the world is just changing so rapidly. What we really try to do is say, hey, where are the niches? What are you doing that's working? This is what I did last week that worked. And it's been incredibly, incredibly powerful. I was just on a call yesterday with Daniel Knight. Shout out to Dan Knight and all the unicorns out there and his unicorn community. But he was just walking me through all these steps of how he's integrating ChatGPT with a spreadsheet that is full of data. So all the people he's coming into contact with, who are filling out forms, who are applying to certain programs, they're all going into the spreadsheet. And the spreadsheet is set up in a way so that he's creating these expert prompts, and he's taking those prompts and he's transferring them into ChatGPT, and ChatGPT is taking that query and it's giving a really excellent response with which he's able to target the people. He's better to get better data. He's able to make better websites. So, I could go on and on. One of the mastermind members shared a really clever way of leveraging Google Forms and sending the answers to ChatGPT automatically and using ChatGPT to write blogs automatically, and then having a virtual assistant in the Philippines turn those blogs into SEO. And there's so many cool ideas out there. So anyway, that's a really long way of saying that, you know, being part of the mastermind community is really important. You never want to be the smartest man in the room. And I often feel that I'm not, which is, that's where I want to be.
Absolutely. That can be really cool. And I love that, again, the concept behind surrounding yourself with the right people, people that are smarter than you as well. They're idea lifters. So they're sharing ideas within that of what has worked and frankly, what's not worked for them as well. So that should be able inside of that group to be able to scale and accelerate the speed in which you can turn it into success. But I love the idea of that mastermind. And I think folks, myself included, would benefit from just learning a little bit more about that as we go forward. I appreciate you sharing that. Okay. I can't believe how fast our time has gone. I'm going to shift it over to you and use one of your podcast points that you use. And that's the idea behind what's overrated or underrated. So I'm going to give you a couple topics. You can give me a quick response and then maybe a why in terms of what goes forward with there as we go forward. So overrated or underrated, you touched on this just a second ago, virtual assistants.
Underrated. You definitely be using virtual assistants. You can get people that are willing to take $10, $15 an hour that can do awesome work, maybe even less in some cases. The key, I think, and where people are going to see immense success is when they're leveraging AI to empower virtual assistants, because people in other countries may not write in English very well, but if they can use AI to supplement their skill, they go all of a sudden go from being a 2 to being a 7 or 8. So virtual assistants underrated still here in 2024.
Love that. And I think about that as the space, you know, you mentioned, we've talked about AI, artificial intelligence, but really you just touched on something that's like augmented intelligence is what it is. That's using that product to make you, to augment your skill set to make you better. And I think that's something that's been pretty powerful. I worked for IBM and their Watson Health group for a little while and how they were using AI. And the marketplace wasn't ready for it yet, but they beat Jeopardy with Watson. And, you know, that was the fun part about it, the story to talk about. But ultimately understanding that. Okay. Overrated or underrated morning rituals?
I would say I'm going to go with overrated on morning rituals. I think it's good to have some morning rituals. But I think, you know, having too, I don't know. I like changing it up. I like changing up to an extent. There's certain things that I do every morning, but I think people sometimes put too much emphasis on it.
Okay. Appreciate that. Just a couple other questions, maybe not the specific one. How many different podcasts do you follow? And maybe what's the one that's been the most influence on you?
Oh gosh, I follow quite a few. I'm liking My First Million. Listen to that this morning. That's a good show. The PBD podcast is really good for, you know, global news and business entrepreneurship. And then I just recently ran into a show that I've actually really, really like. It's called All In, the All In podcast. It's 4 tech bros. They're very well established. One of the, you know, people, you know, that were involved with the early days of PayPal, early days of Facebook, very, very smart men. And they bring the heat.
I love that. Thanks for sharing those, Mark. Cause I think it can be that we can have too many of them, but to your point, when you're surfing, you find a new one and maybe have one fall off. That's not as good. Always learning something new. Thanks for sharing that.
By the way, a side note, I found those on YouTube.
Okay.
All three of those I found on YouTube. So YouTube, I think, is still a very powerful way to be discovered.
I think they're just scratching the surface as well on podcasting and where, you know, Apple and Spotify may be out there, but YouTube's just, and they're all in on that. Speaking of all in, I think YouTube's going in deep on podcasting, which is pretty cool. Last question in this space in terms of fun. What's the best tech investment you've made in the last year that's under $100?
Probably ChatGPT Pro. Just getting access to their newest versions, no wait. automations with Zapier. They now just released the GPT market, which allows you to create your own custom AI chatbots, which you can train with your own links and your own resources. It reads PDFs, it generates images. So I'd have to go with ChatGPT Pro. I use it every day. Very much love it.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing that. Mark, I certainly appreciate the time that you've shared with the listeners of the Uncommon Leader podcast. This conversation has been fascinating. I can't wait to go back and listen to it myself. I have one more question, and then I'll ask you also to share how folks can stay in touch with you. But I always ask my first-time guest this question at the end. I'm going to give you a billboard. You can put anything. I know it's low-tech or whatever it is, but you can put anything you want to on that billboard for millions of people to see all the time. What's the message you put on that billboard and why?
Just be better than yesterday. That's why I try to live by, you know, I think it was Bill Gates who said, we overestimate what we can do in 1 year. We underestimate what we can do in 10. Jordan Peterson, just clean your room. Sometimes it can be overwhelming to think about all the things that we need to do. But if I could just be a little bit better than I was yesterday, it's going to compound immensely, immensely. And I'll just give you a quick story. I had someone message me on Facebook the other day. Long messages. This guy is just really struggling with all kinds of different things. And I, you know, lots of texts. And I responded back, hey, can I ask you a question? Are you exercising daily? No. Hadn't exercised in months. And, you know, sometimes, you know, if it's sometimes the simple things that happen. If you just start exercising daily, whether that's lifting weights or jogging or playing tennis, just be a little bit better than yesterday. I can't really explain how much that will change your life and your perspective, just being a little bit better.
Yeah. The 1% improvement, right? I mean, these huge leaps are things that tend to not be sustainable for us. And that's part of the thing, especially this time of year, New Year's resolutions. I'm going to go to the gym 6 days a week, and they hadn't been in 6 years. And you end up so sore, they're like, that's it. I'm done. I ain't going back again kind of thing. It's that little continuous improvement as a leader, as a person, as someone in your spiritual mindset, in your health, all those things, that little improvement every day can be really powerful. In fact, I think there's a sign that hangs in the gym that I go to. It says, I'm 1% better than yesterday kind of thing. So I love that as a quote, be better than yesterday. Mark, again, I appreciate you sharing with the listeners. I've enjoyed the conversation. Tell them how they can be in touch with you, because they're going to want to know how to get in touch with you.
You can find Mark Savant all over the web on your favorite platform. Thanks to the power of podcasting. You're only going to find Mark Savant. There was a doctor in California, but he basically doesn't exist online anymore because I'm so good at what I do with content creation. But you can find Mark Savant. If you enjoyed it, you want more info, hit me up, mark@marksfontmedia.com. Email me, mark@marksfontmedia.com.
Excellent. Mark, appreciate it. I wish you the best going forward. Thanks again for your time.
Thanks, John. Be blessed.
Well, that's all for today's episode of the Uncommon Leader Podcast. Thanks for listening in. Please take just a minute to share this podcast with that someone you know that you thought of when you heard this episode. One of the most valuable things you can do is to rate the podcast and leave a review. You can do that on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or any other platform you listen. Until next time, go and grow champions.